Well, Krista, right now we have on the line with us Jackie Alnor. We haven't had her as a guest before, but somebody sent a copy of something she had written, and I was really so taken with it, I asked her to come on to be our guest this evening. Jackie, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, hi. Good to be here.
Well, this is what she wrote. Back in 1985, a book came out that examined the so-called communications coming from the UFOs called In Advance of the Landing. And the authors showed how the Space Brothers seemed to be getting the Earth prepared to be open to receive them and were waiting until the moment was right before making their grand entrance to the world. As ludicrous as that sounds, there's a parallel with the strategy of the spirit of the Antichrist, who could not make his debut until the timing is right, when the world has been fully prepared to accept him. And then, of course, Jackie was on to say, what would we expect to see at this time? Well, we'd start with, we'd begin calling good evil and evil good. We'd be getting ungodly leaders in the high positions of government and the judiciary. We'd be silencing the voices of reason by labeling them as narrow-minded. And we'd be making the pursuit of money and prosperity the measure of success in the world and in the church. And there'd be increased the availability of pornography and making licentiousness a popular sport, discrediting the truth of the Bible, examining or eliminating national borders and bringing about a global economy, intimidating Christian leaders to just preach the truth but not defend it for fear of offending someone, and getting people interested in a mystical power that can harness for their own quest for divinity of humankind. And that, of course, is a perfect description of the secret that's sweeping the country today, being pushed by Oprah Winfrey and certainly by Larry King and by Jim Carrey and by Jack Cashel and by all sorts of people who, of course, are dedicated to this Rosicrucian idea that we can manipulate the universe with our minds. Jackie, your article is very disquieting, but it seems almost prophetic in what it says. So you pick the story up.
Well, the story of, as far as the Antichrist plot to rise up and prepare things, of course we all know, well, we who study Bible prophecy, we know that before the Antichrist comes on the scene, the false prophet, trying to come in the nature of the one who came before Jesus, was John the Baptist. So the false prophet would thereby, in imitation of John the Baptist and in imitation of Elijah who is to come, would then, he would be preparing the way before he points to the false Christ. So in that way, he needs to be working before the Antichrist comes on the scene. And we see what the Bible refers to as the spirit of the age at work, and both inside the church and outside the church. I honestly believe that the false prophet will call himself a Christian and will rise up in our midst in the church itself.
You could very well be right, but certainly, yeah, it's so difficult to make any sense about anything going on today. Unless you look at the spiritual implications of what's going on. And people, you know, will look at what's happening in the Middle East and they'll try to figure it out from a logical point of view. And nothing that's happening is logical. So there must be another explanation. Well, Jackie, go ahead and pick the story up there. And I think you did a beautiful job in your description of what's going on in the world today. And you fully believe, and I believe too, that we are about to see the advent of the Antichrist coming to earth. And it's amazing how often we will see the use of 666, and we'll see this move towards world government. Everything is in place for his coming. It is simply, you know, that the average Christian really doesn't believe that this is taking place, or if it is, he thinks he's going to be whisked out of here before anything bad happens to him. So he has no responsibility for really doing anything. Just sit back and wait for the, I don't know, the cloud or whatever it's going to be to arrive, and then he's going to be out of here.
Well, You know, there's different views on the timing of the rapture. There's and with me, I try not to get dogmatic on when the rapture will happen, because I don't think the Bible is really dogmatic on that. I know someone had once said that we have to live every day as if it could be our last, and yet make plans for the future at the same time. And so we know personally any one of us could be called away if a truck happens to run a red light right where you happen to be, you know. So we all need to be ready in our own faith and in our own walk and in walking with the Lord. And, you know, before he left, one thing that Jesus said over and over and over again was for us to be on the alert, to stay sober, and to be ready to be watching for him. And he gave so many parables, you know, of the men that were the servants that were beating up the other servants and everything, and that they weren't watchful and ready. Well, I believe that we need to be watching for these things. And, you know, that's why I call my webpage the Apostasy Alert. It's not just the apostasy that I'm looking for, but I honestly believe that the apostasy of the church is, I call it in a video that I produced called The Great Apostasy, The Lost Sign. It's a lost sign because it's a sign that many Christians don't want to acknowledge that is one of the greatest signs of the nearness of the coming of the Lord, that there would be a great apostasy, and that people who once claimed to believe in Jesus as the only way will begin to say, oh, no, well, all ways are equal. And that kind of liberal bent and everything is taking on popularity in what's now called the emerging church. Certainly there is a revival in mysticism, and a lot of that is through what is called the contemplative movement. And I've written in on my webpage, you can read a large article I wrote about called Thomas Merton, The Dark Thread, which it seems like anyone you listen to in the emerging church or in you know, even some unfortunately evangelicals who are now pushing people into meditation, as in mind emptying sort of. You know, receiving anything that the spirit realm can throw at you as you, you know, take down your defenses to your mind. As these things are happening, a lot of them who write these books, especially the Catholics and people who are now reading these Catholic mystics. Thomas Merton was a major one, and I researched him, and he got all of his mysticism from Zen Buddhism and the Eastern religions. In fact, he died in the middle of seeking them. When he went to go visit with the Dalai Lama, actually, he died. He was electrocuted in the shower. He was actually the same age as me. He wasn't all that old. But he has written so many things. The Seven Story Mountains, one of his big books. And everybody seems to want to point that to him. People like Brennan Manning, who has written the Ragamuffin Gospel. Thomas Merton is another one he points to as his inspiration. They all tend to point to him as their inspiration, from Richard Foster, who wrote The Celebration of Discipline. There's a whole slew of books that have been written in trying to tell people of how to get in touch with the divine through emptying of the mind. But, you know, it's been kind of on the fringe of Christianity. And now all of a sudden, even the mainstream people are acceptance of this, you know, and that's where it becomes shocking. But see, that's part of the apostasy setting in.
In fact, our friend Carol Matriciano, who does excellent videos, her latest one was on Christian yoga, and apparently many Christian churches are, at least some of them are taking their people, of course, you know, they want the church to be sort of the center of the community, so they're teaching yoga there. Well, of course, yoga is an Eastern mystical practice, and it's sort of the emptying of the mind, certain emotions, breathing patterns, all, of course, they're really, of course, opening yourself up to demonic possession. But it's being sold under the name of Christian the yoga. And of course, this is an excellent video. We certainly recommend that that people access some of the material we have on our web, our catalog. But certainly, I want you to get the things Jackie has as well, because he's thought these things through. Mysticism is sweeping through large segments of the Christian church. People want to experience God. They don't want to read the scriptures. They don't want to study the scriptures. That's sort of old-fashioned. How do we experience God? Well, of course, the way that they're getting us to do it certainly is to lead us away from the truth of the Gospels into looking beyond the Gospel, the written word of God, for something even more personal and sort of more revealing. And by so doing, I fear that many of these people are opening them up to, frankly, demonic possession. And, you know, the Lord was asked, you know, how will we know when you're going to come? And, of course, he said no one was going to know. But as it was in the days of Noah, and, of course, well, what happened in the days of Noah? The world was so corrupt, so vile, so everything was so rotten to the core, that the Lord decided that the only solution was to kill everything on earth. That's what he had to do, and start in literally all over again. And as I look and see what's happening here in America, as I look and find the head of the National Association of the Evangelicals, they say that sometimes 30 million, sometimes 60 million Americans are represented by this organization. Was a homosexual and a cocaine addict, and it wasn't simply he had a problem. He was using his position to undermine Christianity. And where is the outcry from our Christian leaders? Why, they were all rallying behind him and saying, oh, poor guy, you know, and after 3 months of treatment, he's no longer homosexual. I mean, certainly, you know, we got a real problem with the moral breakdown in our society, and nobody ever wants to talk about sin anymore, Jackie, it's almost like sin doesn't exist.
Well, you know, this is a very sad thing, because of the amount of people who have come into the church, not through repentance, but they've come into the church by, well, you've tried this and you tried that, now why don't you just try Jesus? They're coming in not through the door, but in some other way. They're kind of trying to come in through the window, as Jesus says, and you can only come through the door, and that is through repentance. And what they're wanting is they don't want to do what Jesus said. Jesus said that we have to lose our life in order to find it. And to lose our life means that when we come to Jesus through repentance of our sins, we say to the Lord, whatever you don't like, I'll go your way. I will not go my way anymore. And I'll throw it all away and build it back up according to your word. And people who come in to the church and they're homosexuals, they'll say, well, you know, God accepts me as I am, and so I'll just be a homosexual Christian. I mean, there's a group called Evangelicals Concerned, which is Ralph Blair's, it's a homosexual organization that takes all of the scriptures that show that the abomination of the homosexual act as is spelled out in Romans 1, and they redefine all of those scriptures. And so and then you have people like Tony Campolo's wife, Peggy Campolo, who is a keynote speaker at these conferences that Ralph Blair puts on, in which she is trying to promote homosexual marriage in the church. Well, it's sad because we have so many professing Christians, people who say they're Christians, but they've come in some other way, and we're told at our churches, oh, bring the unbelievers in, and then they find ways to make church interesting to them, where they get rid of the stumbling block of the cross, and they give them entertainment, and they tack Jesus' name onto everything else to keep the people comfortable. And we know, you know, a lot of that started way back when with Robert Schuller, when he went door to door to ask the people, well, what would you like in a church? And so that's where the church is becoming, and during this purpose-driven time, and at least that's, you know, the Rick Warren popularity of just making church a place where goats are comfortable and sheep are starved.
I think that's really very well said. The sheep are starved, and of course, the message of the gospel is that we're all sinners, we're saved by grace, but of course, we are sinners and we need a Savior. But if you don't believe in sin, you don't believe that there's eternal punishment for sin, then we really don't need a Savior. We need a buddy, and that's what Jesus has become. He's become our friend, he's become our buddy, and you know, we can just have a wonderful, wonderful time with him. But he is not judgmental, because after all, we've been saved by grace. And certainly what they're doing is just mixing up all of the doctrine to make us feel good about ourselves, but there's no longer this realization that we must fear God, we must obey God and keep his commandments, we must love God and keep his commandments. But God is certainly not only a God of love, he's also a God of vengeance and his punishment. And people say, oh, well, that's the Old Testament. And you know, and then they, of course, will give you that Chronicles 7:14. You know, if people simply humble themselves and pray, and why, of course, God will then hear their prayer and forgive their sin. But people have forgotten that, you know, if people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. And I don't see anybody turning from their wicked ways, do you?
Well, no, that's really not popular right now. But you see, these things and these trends in seeing things this way that, we all sinned. Jesus, remember, he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. He'll say, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. So apparently, you know, there's the workers of iniquity, there's the judgment that we know is going to come on the workers of iniquity, and everybody joining in with the spirit of the age in calling good evil and evil good, which is happening right now. The church is going in that same direction. And as you were saying about Noah and the flood, because at that time all the earth was corrupt, and so the judgment had to be global. At Sodom and Gomorrah, the judgment was localized because the evil was localized. Yes, and the saddest thing is raising children at a time like this is the most difficult thing there is for parents. And the scary thing is so many parents will just, you know, who Christian parents who sincerely want to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, they'll take their children to the youth groups and they'll, you know, take them to the concerts and all of these things that are Christian concerts. And, you know, and there's things like, oh, Cornerstone Festival that is trying to bring the world's music with Christ tacked onto it and give it to the Christian children. They are bringing all kinds of corrupt things. And even the speakers that they choose to have are the ones who are promoting the contemplative and who are, you know, turning the children into mysticism and yet trying to appeal to them through really, you know, wild rock and roll music with the young people with their tattoos and their piercings and all of that that the world has. And you know, and they have the same tattoos, only they put, you know, a cross in the middle of some dragon or something like that in order to be cool. And so our young people are being swallowed up. I mean, it is absolutely horrible. But, you know, we can't trust, it seems, anymore, the little youth group at the local church to entrust them to teach our children. We have to be the one to teach our own children because of these days being so evil and because of the apostasy in the church. We can't relegate that to somebody else, even to the church anymore, sadly.
And I think that really is so sad. I mean, at one time, you could trust your minister. He was in the church because he really was trying to do the work of God. And I think that most of our ministers really do, you know, want to do what's good. But they've been to seminaries where they've been indoctrinated in all sorts of psychology. And, of course, you know, the important thing is to teach people in the church how to get along with their spouses, how women, how to get along with their husbands, husbands, how to get along with their wives, how to have a satisfactory intimacy between you. And, of course, you know how to get ahead in the world and how to get along with your boss. But, of course, the simple message of the gospel is fear God and obey His commandments. Love God and obey His commandments. Obey God and keep His commandments. But we never stress that anymore because we've changed the very nature of God.
Okay, did you want to know the URL for my webpage, Jimmy?
I want that, and I want you to tell us about your video and what you would like people to know about your ministry.
Well, my webpage is apostasyalert.org, and it's apostasy has a couple spellings. Mine's with the S-Y. It's A-P-O-S-T-A-S-Y, alert, you know, with no spaces in between, .org. And, I've been in, discernment ministry for more than 25 years with my husband. My husband and I have a publication, well, now it's pretty much an online publication, that in recent years we haven't been keeping up with that, so I started the page while my husband was working on his PhD and everything. He's a professor, actually, at a secular state university, but, you know, he's also... he also is an author, and so I've helped him write several of his books, and they're available on our other website. He used to be the news editor of the Christian Research Journal back when Walter Martin was alive, and I was one of those that, as a new Christian, I sat under the teaching of Walter Martin, who wrote The Kingdom of the Cult, and I think really early on I started seeing all the confusion on television. When I was a new believer, I just wanted to hear about Jesus all the time. And so I would just start watching Christian television and, I just couldn't hear enough about Jesus. And so I'd turn on Christian radio, Christian television. And one day, and I had only been a couple years in the Lord and didn't know the Bible very well, and I just got so confused because I said, everything sounds right. They're all quoting the scriptures, but why do they contradict each other? How am I supposed to figure out who's telling the truth and who isn't when they all sound good and yet they, I remember having this horrible night of trying to sort it all out. And I just knew I couldn't. And I thought, what's the use, Lord? And I remember crying out to God all night, and I opened up the Bible when I was done with my complaint to the Lord, and I opened up to the scriptures that says, you have no need that any teach you, but my Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. And so I just decided right then and there I would just shut off my television, shut off the radio, and just get myself grounded in God's Word and just read it until I knew that I knew what I believed, and then I would be able to test what the others were saying when I knew what the Bible said. And so from then on I just automatically tried to help others to do the same thing, because, and even today, and this is 20-some years later, it's very hard for a new believer coming to the Lord to try to sort out all of the conflicting voices that they're hearing. And so I've been involved in research all these years because those things motivated me. I knew that if it was that hard for me to sort things out, the younger people in the faith are having the same problems, and so... my husband and I have written articles and kept up with exposing error and trying to shine the light on the truth of God's Word and to use it to confront error all these 20 years that we've been married. And Apostasy Alert and the Great Apostasy Tape is some of the fruit that's come out of that need in me to try to help others who are in Christianity in the same era that I'm in, who need help because the conflicting voices, like I said, stumble many young people. And I think, Jesus says better than a millstone be put around their necks and be cast into the sea than to stumble one of these little ones. And so many of these false teachers on television are stumbling young people who aren't yet grounded in the Word and don't know how to test these things. And so they're at a disadvantage as a new believer, especially.
Bart calling from Carmel. Hi, Bart. You have a question for Jackie.
I had a comment that is very pertinent to the discussion you're having tonight, if I may. Jackie, thank you. Earlier, I happened to hear a part of an interview with the grandson of Dmitri Dudeman, who's a great prophet and Christian preacher and teacher from Romania, who came out of Romania during the from the communist era to America to preach, and he was offering some very interesting comments about how life was for the Christians under the communist tyranny in Romania, and how dangerous it was for them to hold services in their basements, and how strong their faith was, and how dedicated these people were, and how joyful they were in their celebration of the Lord in Christianity. And now jump ahead to modern America, and I understand that I believe that the last two generations of life here in this country have been so effortless and so safe and so abundant with material pleasures that it has been used as a type of morphine by the beast system, which we're living under now, in order to put people to sleep and dull your natural consciousness and yearning that occurs for God when you're living under hardships. So, and just to conclude my comment, I would say that the bright side of the economic disaster that Dan was talking about in an earlier interview, the upside of that is that when hard times once again return to this country, as they will, and Christians are faced with tyranny again and the nightmare of living in a dictatorial system, the upside of that is that I believe that will naturally bring people back to the pure teaching and the true understanding, biblical understanding of God's reality and the reality of the Word, and I believe that will be the upside of it. The grandson was mentioning that it was, these people were so dedicated that it was like God almost requires a degree of hardship for us to grow closer to Him.
Well, let's get Jackie's thoughts on that. Do you have any thoughts at all on what Bart was saying?
Yeah, very much, because I think that because Christianity, we have freedom here to worship, to gather together and to worship, and in a place, in a time, as you were mentioning, where if you got caught doing that, it could mean your life. You won't have very many false brethren among you, because, well, I know in the last days the love of many would grow cold. Is a prophecy that the Bible says that the love of many would grow cold. And I think that in this me, you're talking about the last two generations, which is the me first sort of generation, that's what it leads to. It leads to everybody for himself. And you have, you know, some preachers, the prosperity preachers, and those who are saying, oh, you know, if you come to God, you can, you know, have all this health and wealth and everything, and people start, you know, start pursuing money and pursuing their own success and all of those things. And it brings in a lot of people who really, as we just said earlier, did not come in repentance of their sins, but they say that, well, you know, maybe Jesus can give me a better life and, you know, tack him on to the next 12-step program. But persecution is coming, and we're already beginning to see it happening, as people who are standing up for truth are being told that they can't say those things, you know, that it's hate speech to call sin sin. And when persecution really comes down in this country, which I believe it will, then the professing Christians who aren't really true Christians, they will begin to, you know, they'll be ashamed of Jesus. They won't be talking about him anymore. They'll find, you know, some other thing. They won't stand for the Bible. They'll just say, you know, it's maybe some good stories or something. They'll go with the crowd, and then the true Christians will then really stand out, and it will be harder to be a pretend Christian when persecution would be the results of it.
I will separate the sheep from the goats. Anything else you want to say, Bart, before we let you go?
In closing, it does seem that the lessons of history do seem to show that the strongest, most faithful, most dedicated Christians have always come out of times when life was difficult and dangerous. And I think it's possible that we may see that again, because when everything else is stripped away, what's left?
Well, I don't think it's possible. I think it's absolute.
Absolute, yes. Thank you, Dr. Stanek. Good night.
Good night. God bless. Our guest is Jackie Al-Norino. You were going to tell us about your website and about this video you put together. Why don't you tell us about that?
Okay, again, the webpage is www.apostasyalert.org, and apostasy is spelled A-T-O-S-T-A-S-Y. And the video that I made back in 1999, I made it during kind of the height of the Toronto Blessing time, because that was bringing in a lot of confusion, and a lot of the same people who brought the Toronto manifestations and the strange fire that was going on back then, they're still promising some new thing that's going to come up around the corner coming up. But I really wanted to help people to sort truth from error. And the Apostasy Alert, I showed clips from a collection I've been collecting, Christian television tapes. I've been taping things off of things like TBN and other places for over 20 years, as I said before, and I wanted to share some of my collection. In fact, a lot of other videos out there have used the clips that I have gathered, and I share them for others, too, because the more that people can use those to expose error, the better, because these are such perilous times that we live in. And so the tape does show that the apostasy, it has to come before Jesus comes back. And I show Christians how to spot errors, that they're hearing, and how to test all things and to hold fast that which is good, because these things are only going to get worse. And I know a friend of mine often says that if you can't see through Kenny and Benny, you'll never see through the false prophets, because it's going to be through lying signs and wonders that the Antichrist comes into power. And so we need to be discerning. And I hope that the video would help people to learn how to discern. And so I make that available on my webpage, and on both of them. Like I said, my other website that I have with my husband is called cultlink.com. That's cultlink.com. And that's probably 20 years worth of our articles on that site, and my husband's books are available there as well. He's written a couple of books on the UFO phenomenon. He's written UFOs in the New Age, and UFO cults in the New Millennium, and so he has studied that phenomenon, and that's another, area, as I know you mentioned earlier, that the Antichrist and the false prophet can use to their own ends. And, we can't say that for sure, but the messages that are coming from these so-called space brothers certainly fit in with the one-world model religion.
Well, now, of course, does your husband believe in that the UFOs are real? Does he believe that they came from outer space? Does he believe that they're demonic manifestations of the other dimension?
Well, he does expose them as demonic manifestations, and he can do that by showing the messages that they reportedly are bringing in, and the first thing they attack is Jesus Christ, and try to say he is just one of the space brothers, and an ascended master and all that sort of thing. So he shows how the whole UFO phenomenon evolved from the time when people thought that they were just little flying saucers, but how they would even change shape and sizes and get more modern as the modern age progresses, and how they seem to be, even modern ufologists are now more likely to believe that they're not from outer space, but they're from another dimension. And so he documents those findings from those who have studied it. And as far as his book on the new cults, the UFO cults, he's showing how all of this is fitting into all the new religions springing up, and you know, it's that sort of thing. He's also written a book called Heaven Can't Wait, which is showing has compared a lot of these reports of near-death experiences where people, you know, there's very few that report going to hell in the near-death experiences. Most of them claim to come back, and, you know, even though they don't know Jesus, they still see the same beautiful, you know, tunnel of light and all of that. So he studied that. And his first book was called Soothsayers of the Second Advent. I helped him with that book quite a bit in our research and showing how people have gone, Christians, well-meaning Christians, have gone too far in looking at the end times in a way that they have made fools of themselves, such as Edgar Wisnett, who wrote 88 Reasons Why Jesus Was Going to Return in 88 and all of that, and just the show of how we need to be more careful in our pronouncements about date setting or naming the Antichrist or any of those sort of things.
It's fun to speculate, but in the final analysis, we better not put our neck out too far, because there's always somebody there with a big sword. And we will not know until it actually happens.
Right.
But that's really what makes it sort of exciting. We live in, I believe, the most dangerous, the most frightening, but certainly the most exciting times that Christians have ever lived, and I really believe that.
Oh, I do too.
And certainly I really appreciate the material that you have, that you put out there. And, of course, one of the things that really concerns me today is this concept that's being put forward by Rhonda Burns on The Secret. Have you run into that at all?
Oh, The Secret. You know, I listened to a program on that, but I haven't looked into it myself, so it really would be hard unless I have seen the actual primary documentation to comment on it.
Well, you can actually go to here in our area where you can buy the DVD and the book at Costco, which, of course, is one of the largest stores in our community, where you can get them at special low prices and be introduced to that secret. So I do hope that maybe you'll be looking into it and give me a call after you've analyzed it. I'd love to get your thought on this, because I really feel that this is a movement that is sweeping America for a very special purpose at this very special time in history, and even many of the Christians are getting misled by this one.
Wow.
Well, anyway, of course, you know, the whole idea is that everything seems to be in place for the Antichrist to come, and your list of the various things that are going on in the world, I mean, certainly this idea of calling good evil and evil good, the inability of people to speak out on what's going on, the fear of our ministers to offend. I think that a minister has to be offensive if he's going to be honoring God's word, because, of course, the gospel is never popular, but it has to be preached by people who are willing to take a stand. And I believe one reason we're having as much trouble as we're having today is because the church is not taking the position of leadership it should. And reading your webpage, I sort of think that's part of the message you're trying to get out. Am I correct or wrong?
Oh, no, you are correct. As a matter of fact, I was just reading a short little blurb that was written by Walter Martin on this subject, and I love what he wrote just in this one couple of sentences. He says, oh, we have people today who say Christians aren't supposed to argue. We're supposed to love. Gush, gush, gush. Let me ask you something. Do you think that argument for truth excludes love? Love became flesh in Jesus Christ, and when love ran into the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, and the scribes, love argued with them. And I just love that quote because, you know, if we don't correct somebody when they make a blatant statement that we know is sending them off into the wrong direction, and we don't say anything and we don't warn them, then we can't really say we love them, you know, because love, you can't have love without truth. And to let somebody just leave them alone in their deception just because you don't want to stir anything up, that isn't love. You know, if you go and just say, oh, Jesus loves you, and, you know, go on and head off in the wrong direction, you don't really love them. That's why I love Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan's book, Pilgrim's Progress. It's still so true to this day. And I have a a link to the audio version of the Pilgrim's Progress. It's on my links page, on my web page, because I just love that book. I just think it's so timely, even for today, into showing all the different pitfalls and traps that can ensnare Christians along the way. And unfortunately, there is a trap and a snare for everybody today. And that's why, as you know, when I see those snares and those traps, I want to point them out to my fellow Christians so they don't get ensnared by them.
Well, I think one of the most important things is for the Christian to understand that the entire media in America, in the United States, is controlled by the other side. Time Magazine, Newsweek Magazine, U.S. News and World Report, the New York Times, the Washington Post, yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Wall Street Journal, the Reader's Digest, National Review, the left, the right, it's all controlled by people who have a different agenda. Fox News is not conservative, despite everything we're told. People have to understand this is the reason they are all ridiculing Christianity. And understand there is a conspiracy against God. Do you believe there's a conspiracy against God today?
You know, there is a demonic conspiracy against God, and the spirit of the age works in all areas, in all realms. And, you know, as far as there being a conspiracy, like a bunch of men sitting behind smoke-filled rooms trying to pull the strings, there's some of that. Yet they're empowered by Satan. And I think that that the spirit of the age is drawing it all together from, you know, inspiring the people. You know, those who don't know Jesus, they are of the father, their father the devil. And, you know, that doesn't sound nice, but it's biblical. If you're, you know, I love Bob Dylan sang years ago, you got to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to serve somebody. And so people unknowingly are serving the devil when they think they're serving God in so many ways. I wrote an article that's also on my webpage called Entertaining Devils Unawares. And in that article, I showed the errors of Catholicism and the Roman Catholic Church, and they may really mean well in pointing people to apparitions and to worshiping this in Mary and the saints and all of the different, and they think they're serving God, but they're not. And, you know, and they, I think they, that so many of them mean well. And so, you know, we can't, it's hard to sort out who is just deceived and deceiving others or who is knowingly, being con men. I mentioned in the recent article about two that obvious con men like Robert Tilton and Peter Popoff, who are out there finding every little gimmick and way to get money out of people. You know, they aren't just deceived and deceiving others. They are con men who knowingly deceive. And so, you know, we have to discern those things in order to protect ourselves and in order not to get sidetracked in our walk with Christ.
And I think you're absolutely right. This is a spiritual conspiracy against God. It's a demonic conspiracy against God, and I think you're right. I think there's some people out there who are con men. I think there's some people out there who don't even realize they're part of a conspiracy. They just don't believe in God. They want to belittle him. And then I believe there's some people who know exactly what they're doing, and they know who they serve. And it's certainly not the God of the heavens. Well, you know, we live in such exciting times. We can't necessarily know what a person's motivation is. But if we know that they're wrong, we have an obligation to speak out. And when you speak out, you're going to get attacked because, of course, the old adage, if you don't like the message, you attack the messenger. And none of us like to be demeaned or insulted or criticized or efforts made to certainly make us look foolish. But, you know, we have to learn how to discuss these things without getting irritated, without getting angry. Well, Jackie, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up tonight's program.
Well, 3 minutes, okay. Well, I think that we covered a lot of bases tonight.
We sure did, and it's been a real pleasure having you with us.
Thank you. I enjoyed being here, and I think, you know, apologetics can sometimes be an ugly word because a lot of people who call themselves apologists, they, you know, some of them just want to argue or love to get into debate just for the sport of debate. And I'm not like that. You know, I see, you know, the work that I do with the Apostasy Alert and with collecting the videos and keeping up with what's going on with the trends in the church and everything. I try to do that as a servant to my fellow Christians because of what I went through as a new believer in trying to get it all sorted out because it was so hard and I just wanted the truth. And, you know, deception is abounding and it's only going to get worse. We know that, you know, what Paul the Apostle, when he was leaving Ephesus, he said that I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And if that happened back then how far has things devolved since the first century? It's scary, you know. Christians have to be so well versed with the Bible that they will know a counterfeit when it pops up. And, you know, the devil and the spirit of the age works in all realms. You have the draw to try to, one thing that we actually didn't even mention was really the political, you know, politics where people think, well, if Christians get behind this candidate, everything will be fine and, you know, and we'll take, you know, America back for Christ. Well, America isn't going to come back to Christ. As a matter of fact, prophetically, it's going to be getting worse and we're going to be coming under persecution as the spirit of the age takes hold and as he has been. So a lot of people are really fooling themselves if they think that we can create some sort of theocracy and make everybody pretend and act like Christians and be law-abiding citizens because, you know, we're going to impose the Bible on them. Well, you know, that didn't work in, you know, for the popes in the Inquisitions and, you know, and it's not going to work today.
All right, we're just about out of time. Jackie, thank you very much for being with us. It's been a real pleasure. I hope we can get you on some of our other programs.
Sure, it's been great. Thank you.
And I hope you look into that secret and love to get your thoughts on it. Good night.
I'll do that. Good night.